Hello, Wander fam, and welcome to another episode of the Wonderful Design Podcast. Today we have Sebastian Jaramillo, who is a self-proclaimed over-caffeinated product strategist and pixel addict who loves solving meaningful problems through design and technology. Sebastian has had a wide range of experiences from senior product manager at Twilio to head of product for an influencer marketing tech company. He is also a co-founder of Emma, a real estate seed stage startup, and was an alum of Startup Chile. Sebastian has also taught at a university for web design and front-end development, and today he is currently one of Wander's amazing product strategists. Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeannie, how are you? Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Good. We're excited to have you here. And as always, we start every episode with a round of rapid fire questions. So, Sebastian, are you ready?
I think I am. I'll let you shoot and we'll see how it goes. But I think I'm ready.
Awesome. So, Sebastian, where did you grow up?
I was born in a small city in Colombia, in South America. It's called Manizales. It's close to the Andes Mountains. So if you look on a map, there's a mountain range that comes down all through Colombia. It's right in the middle. It's a small town, you know, not a lot of people, at least for our standards. Very quiet, very slow-paced city. But it was great growing up there. It's the kind of place where it gives you a lot of, good life quality, a lot of family. We're of course a Latino family, so you're always surrounded by family. That's where I'm from.
Awesome. Is that where you're still at now?
No. I am currently based off of Bogota. That's the capital of Colombia. Much larger city, more dynamic. This is where big tech companies are, or at least used to be, because now everyone is remote. So I came here when I finished my school back in Manizales. Here's where I got my first degree. I've been living, first time I've moved to Bogota was somewhere around 18 years ago. That's a long time. Since then I've been moving around, but I always come back to Bogota.
Awesome. So mountain man to now city life.
Yeah, something like that.
And what's a book that you think everyone should read?
Oof. That's a really hard question because I mean, it really depends on your interest, I would say. While I was thinking about our interview, I had a couple of things in mind. So maybe we can leave that question for when we talk about more in-depth topics, because there are a couple of things that I would recommend people that are tied to topics and themes that are important in my life right now. So maybe I'll leave that answer for a little later. In the interview.
All right. Keeping us at a cliffhanger. Okay. All right. I see you. What is one app you cannot live without?
One app. Oof. That I think it's going to be my books app. I'm on a journey to read as much as I can about all the topics that currently interest me. So it's literally something that I keep on every single iPad that I own or device that has a screen. So I try to read as much as I can every day. So that would be one. I'm trying to stay off of social media, but I do consume Instagram a lot too. It kind of disconnects my brain. I kind of go on that on their discovery section where you just get random things thrown at you based on like your search pattern. So I enjoy that. They're very good. Their algorithm is very good. So they suggest a lot of very good content.
Oh yeah. Stay away from TikTok. You fall into a rabbit hole real quick.
That's not for me. I'm too old for TikTok.
So you can't live without your book app. That's like spoken like a true nerd.
Yeah, I have to admit I'm a big nerd. I think I'm getting worse the older I get, but I do enjoy that association.
I mean, the older you get, the more like you become, the more you become yourself, right? So the world's getting to know more of this like nerdy side of you. That's what it is.
Yes, and I think you also become more conscious about the things that you don't know. So there's so much that you need to learn. I don't know. I'm like you said, I mean, I'm a self if you read how I describe myself in my bio, I think of myself as a passionately curious individual. So I'm always trying to learn something new every time I'm, just trying to get something in my life. I dive very deep into ways in which I can get it done. Maybe obsess a little too much on those things, or thinking about how to get things done. I need to get more into doing, but definitely I read a lot. I
Yeah,
try to.
I'm the same way. I feel like there's so many topics that I don't know, and most of the books that I read are nonfiction, like self-help, how-to, business types of books.
Yep, same here.
All right, so what do you think is the best invention of all time?
Oof, that would by far be the internet.
The another point for the internet. What is your all-time favorite accomplishment?
Biggest accomplishment were a series of decisions that I made by the beginning of last year, 2021. We were all locked down. People, I was forced to, the fact that we couldn't go out meant that we had to look inside. So to me, it meant really, really, really trying to find what was important to me. So that also meant making a lot of changes in my life that meant a lot of risk for my family. I was moving from a place where I was very comfortable from a money perspective to a place where there's going to be more risk, but at the same time more fulfillment for myself personally, and I think a way to really find purpose.
Yeah, and I think that's a really big one. You know, it's kind of like the analogy, put your oxygen mask on first before assisting others. And if you're not able to feel fulfilled in the work that you're doing, no matter how much money you're making, ultimately there's a reactiveness to that, right? Like if you're not happy, then people around you are going to start noticing. But if you're fulfilled, regardless of how much you're making, that energy is going to transpire to your friends, your family, and those around you. So I definitely commend you for taking that risk, especially being a father of two. It's not easy to take big risks in those moments.
Absolutely.
Our last rapid fire round question: what's the biggest challenge you're working on right now?
Okay, this is a very good question because that would be also being an entrepreneur and building a company. So something from the intro that you didn't mention is that I'm also part-time working on a separate project that it's on its initial stages, but it's something that I'm this being an entrepreneur has comes with so much things that you need to learn and so much things that you need to do, that that is by far the biggest challenge that I'm currently facing.
So, can you tell us a little bit more about the project that you're working on? This is very interesting.
Of course, yes. So this project is in beauty tech. I probably need to explain why in that industry. So my family owns a company that was founded by my grandfather 60 something years ago. I think almost 70. He actually passed away a couple of weeks ago. So it's incredible what he was able to accomplish and how influential that has been in my life. So this is an industry again that has been a part of my life for ever since I have a memory. So again, it's in the beauty tech industry. We are going to be creating a brand where we have a line of skincare products, but the whole point is that using technology, we can analyze your skin based on different data inputs. We can understand how to better create the right set of products and the type of routine that you would need based on different factors. And what we create is a subscription model where, based on that analysis, and not only the one-time analysis, but the progress that we help you make, and how you the outcomes that you start achieving through that journey, like your skincare journey, we suggest the types of products that you should be using, like for your very particular like needs and what you want to do. So it's very cool. It's in a very initial discovery stage. We're still figuring out what the exact value proposition would be, but it's along the lines of what I just explained. We're defining what the initial MVP is and doing all the work necessary to get the actual physical product formulation done, like very high quality products. Something that I'm trying to do with this project is put a lot of focus on quality. This is something that I want to make sure speaks to what's important to me. So very high quality product, something, you know, whoever uses this is going to know that there was a lot of care put into every single thing that you come in contact with the brand, not only from a digital perspective, but from a physical product perspective. So I hope that explains a little bit.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because you were talking about quality of product, but right now there are essentially two types of product. You have the actual physical product of a skincare line, and then you also have the technology product. So as a founder, where do you put your focus on? Is it the technology? Is it the physical product? How do you split your time?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, and maybe also a recommendation for anyone who's thinking about going, creating a startup and starting their entrepreneurship journey, is find a co-founder. I have a co-founder that, you know, it's focusing on one of those two things that you just mentioned. So my co-founder is my sister. She has been working on the family company for a while, so she's an expert on everything related to the actual physical product and has a lot more knowledge than I do on that area. So my focus is on the digital aspect. That's where my expertise and my experience, where I can really add value to what we're doing. And basically the two of us, together create what we want to eventually deliver as our value proposition.
So let's dive into the digital product, which is where your expertise are. Based on, because you have a lot of different experiences. You started a company before, you were head of product, and then you were at Twilio, which is very different than a beauty tech company. So how do all of these different experiences prepare you for what you're working on now? Or does it even prepare you?
Oof, it does. And I think, I love this Steve Jobs quote that he from his Stanford speech that he gave a couple of years ago. You can Google that, and it's a fantastic video to watch. Anyways, he says that you can only connect the dots looking backwards. So in your life, there's things that happen that there are certain moments that you can connect those things and really understand why you were doing what you were doing. So all of those experiences for me were incredibly relevant and helped me get where I am today in many respects. So you mentioned I was a co-founder to another tech company. We were in the real estate industry. And, you know, I should provide a little bit of the story here and the context, but, you know, this, you know, this, the first time we tried building this business didn't go very well, right? You could say it was a colossal failure. We did almost everything wrong, which is, you know, it's crazy. I mean, building a company, it's so complex, and we were so focused on the actual product that we forget some very essential pieces that needed to be done in order for the whole thing to actually work. But also that experience, you know, brought the most valuable learnings in my career. You know, before going into a startup, I had a lot of other like agency experience. I was a consultant, but never in product. So while I was at my doing this startup, I really didn't know what product was. Today, I found a career in product management and product. That's really what I love and somehow has brought all these different experiences and combined them into something that I truly love. But you know, looking back, all those different things were like some very amazing like lessons, like brought very important lessons to my life. So when I was doing the startup, like that was incredible. You mentioned we were part of the startup Chile. That was an incredible experience for us. We were also part of the Wyra accelerator. That's from Telefonica. That's a huge incubator here in Latin America. We were also part of the Evernote accelerator program. So we were in Silicon Valley. We were one of six teams from different places around the world. We were the only LATAM team. So we had our really great moments, but we also had some incredibly hard moments while we were in that pursuit.
Tell us about the lessons that you've learned from those experiences.
Okay, so when we decided that we were no longer going to be pursuing that, I kind of took some time off to really try to understand what happened. But I also had to, be very quick at finding a job. I was very tired. This was somewhat around 5 or 6 years ago. So I knew that I found a career in product management. I knew that's the kind of job that I wanted to find, but I also knew that there was so much that I needed to start learning. So I very quickly started, looking for a job, which, I was able to land something quickly, fortunately, because I literally had the equivalent to, I think it's to today's currency, somewhere around, $1.50 in my pocket.
Oh, wow.
Rent was due in 20 days. I'm never going to forget that feeling. And I had no clue what I was going to do. Again, fortunately, I was able to land that project, that job. So I was able to get back on my feet very quickly. But I had that much money and my backpack with my laptop. So that teaches you
Sounds like a true entrepreneur story. I feel like every entrepreneur has some version of what you just told me.
Yes. So, that teaches you to be very humble, because you need to be, come true to yourself about what you know and what you don't know. So trying to make sense of what happened and trying to learn the things that I needed to learn was what took me through the journey that I went through. Also, each job or each startup that I worked for before getting to Wonder, it's a total of three, I believe, other startups that I was working with. All of those taught me different lessons. The first thing that I was focusing on was on really improving my product management craft, like really understanding what it meant to be a product manager. Again, I didn't have any formal training or had the chance to had any formal either, advisors or coaches or anything in my career. It's something that I had to learn through practice and getting a lot of things wrong, like I mentioned earlier. So really understanding what product meant. So that took me on a journey of like learning and really trying to, get as much as I could from those experiences. Those next jobs that I had were also very eye-opening for me. I think if I look at what I'm studying today and the things that I'm trying to learn today for this new chapter of my life, which is trying to build this company again, or this company we just talked about, is trying to learn the things that I saw were either missing or poorly implemented or executed at those past companies. I would summarize that in three things, which is clarity of purpose, a clear strategy, and true innovation. So these are three topics that I am constantly reading about these days, like trying to make sense of how to actually achieve those. And again, these were things that were either missing in one way or another from these places that I worked at. And also are things that if I was better at when I was at those places, I would have been able to contribute a lot more to those places. Because I remember what I'm going to say shows that I've matured a little bit, but I used to blame these places for not having those things in place. In some instances, I couldn't even articulate what was missing. I've been able to do that now that I studied more and understood where the root cause of those problems were. But I think it boils down to those three concepts: purpose, strategy, and innovation. So that's something that I'm really trying to learn these days, and it's something that I'm preparing myself to better execute and better implement when I'm actually doing my own thing, this startup.
Yeah, no, that's a really great triad of, I guess, ingredients to a successful startup. But the first one that you mentioned, which is the clarity of purpose, I think personally, that's the toughest, right? So many businesses pop into the market because they need to make money. And then you start to build your team, and then you're still without a purpose other than the fact that your business is making money. So what advice would you give to companies or founders who kind of find themselves a little lost for why they're doing what they're doing?
Okay. This is where I'm going to get back to your book question, because I do have some recommendations for someone who would be seeking that. And these were two books that helped me in my pursuit of finding that purpose and starting to get closer to having that clarity. I'm still on that journey, but I think I'm a lot closer than I've ever been in my life. So the first book is Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
Yes, I love that
book. The second one, yeah, it's a great book. I mean, it's a really easy book to read. There's nothing technical about it, but it's a book that it's going to help you, reflect on what are the things that are truly important to you and why you should align with those. In fact, this was the book that I was reading exactly when I decided to leave Twilio. That's when, our paths actually crossed and I ended up working with you at Wonder. But anyways, I was making those decisions based on the things that were truly important to me. And this book, Start With Why, really helped me understand what were those reasons why I was doing what I was doing. Not only on a personal level, but it helped me apply the same mindset to exactly the thing that I'm doing. So if I were to speak to the why of the company that I'm currently founding, in fact, I have this somewhere written down.
So what's the quote? Give us the quote.
Well, in fact, I'm going to share the one of the key things that you can take away from that book is this concept of a golden circle, right? You have three layers. In the very center is your why. Then is your how, which are the actions that you take to realize your why. Your why, again, is the reason you do what you do. And then the what are the specific the specific products or services that the organization creates. So if we were to think of the project that I'm working on, the startup that I'm working on, our why is something that, again, it's very, very dear to me. It's about helping people understand that the things that makes them unique are their superpowers. And we exist to help people find the best version of themselves, helping them understand the perfection of their imperfections. Mm-hmm. So notice how I never mentioned anything regarding what the company delivers, right? I'm not talking about skincare. You know, we do that through skincare. So that's my how, right? When I talk about my how, which is the second layer, is, you know, I am bringing, you know, exceptional high quality skincare products. I'm creating services and technology that is going to help you, you know, become a companion to your skincare journey. So, you know, having that type of clarity in what you're doing is really helpful. Again, not only if you're creating a company, but for yourself, to me, it's also been a very important question to ask and has been very important to pick exactly the things that or the paths that align with what my whys are and what I'm doing. So definitely, if you're thinking about purpose, that would be one book that I would recommend. The second one is something that is easier.
Before you go to the second one, I want to jump in and throw a little curveball at you because, you know, you mentioned that your purpose is to help people find their perfection in their imperfection, which I think is beautiful, by the way. But I'm curious, you know, you said you're from the Andes, mountain man. I'm just thinking, like, why? Why does this matter so much to you? And, like, I know you share the story about your grandfather's business. But to me, I'm just like, okay, bearded mountain man, caring about care and making everyone feel perfect in their imperfection. It's interesting. And I want you to dive in a little bit more into that.
I'm glad that you asked that. There's actually another story behind that. This was from the first job that I had coming out of university. I worked at an advertisement agency. We did all kinds of digital, work for different clients. This is when, Flash was still a thing, if anyone calls that. So I was doing graphic design and interaction design for different clients. And one of our clients was a men's magazine called Don Juan here in Colombia. Think of it as GQ, I think it's called. So, you know, they show a lot of models and things like that. And part of the work that I was doing is digital retouching. I'm actually very good at digital retouching and it's something that I enjoy a lot. And back then I was doing, fixing the bodies of these women that we would be publishing on our digital magazine because our agency was doing the digital magazine, the digital version of the magazine. And so the pictures that we received, I would have to retouch them. And I remember feeling very, I had a lot of trouble accepting that's the kind of thing that I was doing, right? Because I was literally completely changing the person that, you know, was there in the first place. I had to do all sorts of crazy things to make sure this woman looked completely flawless. And it's a complete lie. It felt like, you know, I was lying to people. And I remember I had a girlfriend at the time that, you know, her her friends were always asking her, like, you know, aren't you jealous that your boyfriend is, you know, working at this magazine and he's looking at supermodels all day long, because we also have to go like shoot, like do backstage shooting and stuff like that. And so she would, of course, let that affect her, get into her head, and she would come and say that, you know, well, why was I doing that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, if only she knew that, like, how that changed my perspective and how beautiful I saw her, because I was working with these women that are so fake. Like, you know, the when you look at a magazine, it's so unreal, like, what these photos has gone through. Like, it's just insane. I mean, I think the best stories that our bodies tell are told through our, like, our scars, are, you know, those are the real stories. That's the those are the things that have truly happened in your life. And you know, that was one moment in my life where I promised myself I would never work on something like this again. But I never thought I would end up, you know, working on actually trying to change that, because I think that's wrong. Of course, I'm getting older. I have two sons. Also, you know, I mentioned my sister is my co-founder, and she has a daughter. I remember, I mean, and she's 12, so she's getting into this teenage, you know, her teenage years. So seeing how social media affects her, you know, she's such a beautiful, gorgeous, you know, girl, and thinking that she's not, it really hurts me. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's not right. I mean, and because I know that she's looking at a lie. She's feeling bad because of someone who did what I used to do. You know, it's creating a fake standard of beauty. So this whole, the why of this company is to fight that. It's to end that and help women and well, men eventually, hopefully we get to that market segment. But you know, women realize that, you know, the things that make them unique are their superpowers. Those are things that truly matter, and the perfection of their imperfections are the things that, you know, they really need to learn how to love. And that, I think, it's a mission that's worth pursuing. And it's the kind of thing that, because of the experience that I lived, and, you know, right now, again, with my niece, and I'm gonna be raising two boys that they need to learn how to respect women, and they are gonna have to do that. I mean, that's what I'm gonna make sure they do. I mean, they're too young to start thinking about that. They're only thinking about dinosaurs and trucks, but eventually they will, and that's the world that I want them to also help create. You know, that saying that says, be the change, how is it?
Be the change that
you want to see in the world. Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now.
I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that story. Like, that to me is like, okay, now I get it. Now I see why the bearded mountain man wants to be in the beauty industry and change, you know, change people to see the perfection in their imperfection. I love it. It's a beautiful story. And it's crazy. Like, we feed into this distorted reality. Everyone does it. Everyone has the filters. And I actually follow a lot of these model accounts that show you the behind the scenes. There's this one particular model, and her TikTok goes like, here are all the behind the scenes that you don't see, which is, you know, she has like a bunch of facials done before the photo shoot, and at the photo shoot, she gets her makeup hair done by professionals. She's sitting in there for hours. Then she's taking hundreds of photos, and from those hundreds of photos, it gets sent off to the retoucher, and then that's hours spent on it. So the final product, the final image that's actually in Sephora or in wherever the magazines that she's published in, doesn't even look like her.
Yep.
But we don't see that. We just see the final product and we're like, oh, wow, like, you know, doe eyes, like, oh, I want to be like her. And I think it's kind of the same with entrepreneurship too, right? Like, you see the big news PR, and it's like, oh, like, Uber did this, Airbnb did that, and we're like, oh yeah, we can also do that too. But you don't see the behind the scene of the sweat and tears and like the $1.50 in your pocket and all that. You just see the glory of starting a company.
Yes, and I think there's the why I mentioned it before is clarity of purpose. I think clarity of purpose helps you also, things trickle down from that, because then the decisions that you make are gonna support the why, right? When you start building the hows and the whats, remember what we mentioned about around this golden circle concept, those decisions are all influenced by the why. So I'll just give you a very quick example that's tied to what you just mentioned of this distorted reality. Whenever I'm going to do a photo shoot, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to shoot real women, and they're going to be portrayed as they are. I mean, I'm not going to probably be choosing like super top models, right? We're probably going to be choosing, like picking like real authentic women, you know, who are, you know, just awesome because they have something special and they embrace those things that make them unique. And that's how I'm going to pick it's going to end up in a photograph. That's how you translate your purpose into the things that you actually do every day and the decisions that need to be made in the company.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I definitely see the world changing more and more to that. Dove was the first, I think, company to do that like 10, 15 years ago with their Dove campaign. I love what you're putting into this new passion of yours. And you said there's a second book that you recommended. Let's go to that. What's the second book?
So this is also a Simon Sinek. It's called The Infinite Game. So it's, I think, a good continuation if you're trying to make sure that you create something that's lasting and it's not, you're not seeking an immediate exit. You're trying to create an actual dent, you know, in the universe, something that's, you know, hopefully bigger than yourself. That's, I think, what I'm trying to do. And you know, I mentioned part of my influence comes from my family company and my grandfather. So it's funny because this, of course, it's very close to the time that he passed away. That again, I mentioned it. This happened a couple of weeks ago, but that event helped me better crystallize my why and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And part of it is leaving a legacy, a legacy of service. It's part of what he did. And one of the things that was incredibly touching from, you know, being at his funeral was all the people that showed up, that, you know, many of whom I had no idea who they were, but they, you know, they came to us and mentioned how what he did over the years, like, completely changed their lives and improved their lives altogether. And that was incredibly touching. And that's when I understood that that's exactly the same thing that I want to make sure that I do and that I accomplish. I think it's be able to build, you know, a really purposeful, you know, organization that's going to outlast and, you know, be much bigger than myself and whomever comes in contact, not only working for us, but, you know, externally, those people are going to be moved and changed, you know, in some way. So I think that's part of also finding that purpose. So The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek teaches you about the difference between those organizations that are thinking about the infinite game of business as opposed to finite games, right? A finite game would be something like a sports event. Like, you know, you go to a football game and you know what the rules are, you know, the you know, what to expect, you know, it's going to be timed. So, you know, it's finite. You know, everyone agrees to some rules and they play. And his whole book revolves around the concept of people are treating business as a finite game, which is not what they should be thinking about. They should be treating it as an infinite game. And the decisions that you make along the way should be seeing something that's much further than your quarterly goals or something like that.
Of course. But it's like a muscle you have to practice because so many times people, like, it trickles all the way down. But like as an employee, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to stay at this job for maybe 2 years with the current job market. You'd be lucky if you have someone stay for 2 years. And then as a, you know, in the leadership team, you're also, as you mentioned, you're thinking quarterly, like quarterly goal. But I haven't read the book yet, but I love that the value of that is to think long term. Think about where, you know, what's the end goal in mind, and reverse engineer from that. And what you just mentioned to me also reminded me of another book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's one of my, honestly, it's one of the most boring books to read, but definitely one of the most influential books I've ever read. And in the first chapter, Stephen Covey mentions, you know, and this also touches upon your grandfather's funeral and what you mentioned about his legacy, is to vision yourself at a funeral, but that it's your own funeral. And you have all your friends, you have your community, you have your coworkers, you have everyone that's meaningful in your life there at the funeral. And they're one by one standing up at the podium, saying something about you. And what is it that you would want these people to say about you? It's not that, oh, you know, Sebastian was a hard worker and he, or maybe that's what you want, but you don't want someone to come up and say, oh, Sebastian was a product manager at Twilio and he was, you know, he was a product strategist. I wonder, like, you don't really care about the job titles. What matters is, oh, he was a compassionate person who made me feel perfect, you know, through his purpose and passion and with the work that he's doing. He left this legacy that I feel my friends and or my family can carry on. Like, so what are the things that you would want these people to say about you as like your end goal, and reverse engineer that so that everything that you're working on today is going towards that North Star? So that was like the whole purpose of what the first chapter of his book mentioned. And what you just said kind of aligned to that, which is find your passion and then reverse engineer what you're working on from there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's exactly it. And you know, since we're talking about my grandfather, you know, I would have thought that during his funeral, like most of the things that people would say were around his career. And I mean, he was a very successful man, and, you know, most of like the highlights would have been his work, but none of them, like at least 90% of the things that were mentioned weren't about the work that he did, you know, professionally. So I think that that's spot on. And I think that's what one should aspire to as well. So I share that. And again, on coming back to the infinite game, it's really about those decisions that, one would make at a company when you're looking at that long-term vision of what you want to become. It's definitely not easy. It's really hard, especially because, you know, you have to make sure that you have money to pay people. And sometimes you're faced with decisions that are not necessarily the right decisions for the long-term, but are necessary for the short-term. I think the most valuable thing is consciousness, knowing when you're making a decision that's not, you know, directed towards that long-term. So, I mean, it's the kind of book that helps you gain a different perspective and create awareness. And I think that's very important. I think it's important because, again, I mentioned I was focusing on these areas because I'm preparing myself to what I know, you know, what eventually will come. So those are the kinds of aspirations that I have for when I'm going to be, for when I will be facing like hard decisions.
Very cool. So we're coming up on time. And my last question to you is, what advice would you give product managers or product leaders that may feel a little bit lost in not having a purpose in what they're doing, especially if they're working a job? They might not have a startup that they're passionate about, so they're working as a team member at another company. So what advice would you give them?
I mean, if you're part of a company that's not pursuing something that's meaningful to you, I would just say quit. I mean, of course, it's easier said than done, but I think it's very important that people find that. I mean, from my own experience, it's been one of the most rewarding decisions that I've made. I would rather go to sleep knowing that I'm doing something that, you know, makes my heart beat and helps, you know, makes Monday a fun day, right? You know, like what we do at Wonder, right? So I think that's so important. I mean, if you're an employee at a company that's not doing things that are meaningful, that do not align with your why or the things that are important to you, I mean, just quit and find another one. There's plenty of work out there. I mean, if you're good at what you do, you'll find something. If you're not good, then go study and then go find a better job. But don't stay at a place where you're not happy. And if you're building something, and you don't know exactly what the purpose is, I mean, make sure you find it. Make sure you find it, because that's the only way you're also going to make sure you inspire the people that work for you. I think that's critical. From my own experience, I've been at places, even, you know, that was actually part of my Twilio experience. You know, I was, you know, making good money. You know, I was at a very important, like, tech company, Silicon Valley, looks really well on my resume, et cetera. But at the end of the day, I was not building something that I connected with the things that were important to me and you know, purposes that are much deeper than the things that I was doing on a daily basis. So it made the whole journey a lot more painful, because of course, you know, working on anything, building a product, building a company, it's really hard work. I mean, there's more hard days than good days. So you want to make sure that there's something that it's there to inspire you on the hard days, because I mean, you're not always going to be motivated, right? I mean, you need to have something that reminds you, you know, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and this is why I'm going to go through all this shit. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's what's gonna make it worth it. It's like, it's like having kids, you know. Well, I'm learning it the hard way, but you know, sometimes, I mean, you want the best for them. You know what you want for them. You wanna give them the best life you can, but you have to go through the hard days. I mean, there's just no other way around it. So I think that'll be my advice. I mean, find it or make sure you clearly define it and communicate it. If you're a product leader, if you're a founder, you need to make sure that exists and that people understand it and that they're reminded every single day about what that purpose is.
That's dope. I agree with what you just said, which is, as hard or easy as it sounds, you know, if you're not aligned with the purpose and you don't feel good about what you're doing, just quit. You're going to save yourself time. You're going to save your team a lot of time. I know that's not the best advice to hear. It sounds really harsh, but for me, like going through my whole like existential like questions and phases in my life, I'm like, damn, life is so short. I'm honestly like, I feel like the year goes by literally in the blink of an eye. So do what you're passionate about. Do what drives you towards your North Star of how you want to leave your legacy.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, life's too short.
All right. So with that, we're going to wrap up. Sebastian, thank you so much for being on our show. If somebody wants to connect with you, what's the best way to reach you?
You can reach me on LinkedIn. I think that'll be the best place. I'm also on Instagram, but I don't look at my inbox there. Okay. So you're going to have better luck on my LinkedIn.
All right. We'll link your LinkedIn profile below. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sebastian. And take care, everyone.
Thank you, Jeannie. This was awesome.